Get me now.
Hey, how about there? So there's a fellow up in Pennsylvania I was doing the Sunday school for the young adults, and he came in. Him and his wife came in with us, and we're kind of joined together to help us with that. We had about 15 or so, and he would write. He played the guitar, and he would write. And he played the piano too, but he played the guitar. And he would write songs, scripture. He would take scripture and write a tune to. So every memory verse we were learning, he would prepare a song for it, which was pretty cool. And so I thought about that. I thought, you know, when we have another verse we want to do, I'll get him to write a song. And I told him, I said, you should record all these and put it. Okay, lesson two. Let me make sure everybody has one of these handouts. You got one? Got one from this week? Oh, good. I didn't see you come up there. Well done. Well done. Okay. Lesson number two. Okay. We are we're talking about building below the baseline, which is talking about our what?
Foundation.
Thank you. It's our foundation. And so I want to think about this. How many here have been involved in some kind of construction? Either at your own house or commercially or that, you know. How many have watched a house being built or a building being built? You ever watched? I mean, just, you know, like, I mean, when I'm saying watched it, like over time you've seen it. You know, we've all seen that kind of, you noticed that. I remember my dad and I, we watched this. I don't have many stories about my dad and I because I didn't meet him until I was an adult. Anyway, there was this thing, a wrecking ball was taking down a building. That's pretty cool to watch. I don't know, do y'all watch like that? We just said, why didn't we want to watch that? And just each swing of the ball, what it was going to do, and you're like, oh, that's going to do it. Like, oh, no, another one. Yeah, I don't know why that's fun. Anyway, watching buildings being erected, not as much fun. So think about this. Long before builders erect the walls or install windows or place a roof on a physical building, they start with a process most people never see. Okay? And that is the foundation. Right? You see, you see this machinery coming in, doing some dirt work, and they're coming around, they're digging, and moving dirt, and you're watching this, you're like, oh, they're going to get something done, right? And then they get all this, and, you know, you see all of a sudden, you see all these guys with hard hats, they're coming out here, and they've got all their drafting table, and they got their paperwork, they're looking at all the specs, and you'll see the colored flags. We get around this city, colored flags are huge, right? I don't know, they're all over in my neighborhood all the time. And they're being placed to different spots, and these people that have appointments scheduled, inspectors are coming and visiting construction site, and they're giving their stamp of approval, putting the permits out. We've had some of these things, and seemingly for some minor details. By the way, on that, our inspection came Friday for our health inspection, came through and gave us 100%. We got all the last of the things, so we're excited about that. So what I'm talking about with this stuff is a little bit different, but we've got the only thing that's left. I'm going to send all that into the Department of Education. They have to do a walkthrough. I'm so excited about that. But when you see that, and then you've seen some of this stuff, and then all of a sudden, it stopped. Right? Have you seen that? Around here, maybe it's not quite the same with kind of the sandy soil, but a lot of times, a lot of places, and maybe they do that here, once the dirt's there, now it has to sit. Right? Now it has to get prepared, and you're like, oh, man, it takes forever. All that stuff that needs to be done, it's a lot of stuff, a lot of time, and there's really a lot of money. Around here, we found out with the water problem that we have in this area, because we're the lowest, we're in the bottom of the bowl, all these places around here, we found out that the city has already spent $30,000 in the past hiring two different engineers to develop plans to move the water. But because down here where we'd have to move into is on a state highway, the state has disapproved both of them. So a lot of work, engineers coming out doing a lot of work gets done, a lot of money, a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of effort, and all that and before anything's even seen. And so all that stuff takes shape even before a building, all that other stuff gets done before the building even begins to take shape. So to an unlearned observer, like we all kind of start that way, you might think it's all ridiculous, right? All the inspections and all the permits and all this. A lot of times, especially if you're watching something, I've been watching that out there on one. They're right there where that, I think it's where the Arby's is. They're building all that stuff out there. You know, there's fence up there, and you're like, come on already, build something. Why? Because it just looks cool. I want to see what you're doing, right? Finally, you know, I think they got some blacktop in there now, I think. And so you're finding, you know, a lot of times you're like, let's just get this building underway, right? You're like, let's see it. But the builder knows an important truth. A structure without a firm foundation is useless, can even be disastrous, right? The most vital part to a structure rests on the investment into its foundation. And I want this, what we're going to be talking about really through this whole series, and I want us to be thinking about that. And I know it's already there, but I want to just keep reiterating that, what's there. And that's the similar truth for the Christian life. Without a solid foundation to the Christian activities or the ministries in which we try to do, okay, our lives will eventually crumble. So we can do a lot of stuff, very Christianish stuff. You know what I'm saying? But if there's not a foundation below it of what it's being done, and then it's going to eventually what we try to do up here. And y'all have seen that. You've seen people. You've seen people come to church, their lives crumble, right? Just quit church. It seemed to be very sound. Can I say they seem to be very spiritually sound, even to the point we might say they seem like they were maturing, right? Y'all think of that, those kind of situations. Maybe you think about those situations in your own lives where things were, man, I'm doing all the right stuff, and then all of a sudden you come up hard up against a wall, and now just getting to church is, why do people that were so faithful, doing, serving, all this thing, they're at everything. They're at visitation. They're in Sunday school. They're in Wednesday night. They're in prayer meeting. They're coming for everything, and they're involved in all the doing. And then all of a sudden, they're out of church. And now you can't even get them back to church. Right? What was going on there? Something was wrong with the foundation. And you know what? People like that will sometimes, people like that, which by the way, can be people like us. You know what we can, what we do then is we blame stuff. Because truthfully, a lot of times we don't even understand it ourselves. So we start blaming. Why? Well, I just don't want to come back to church anymore because you people do stuff wrong, right? And we give a list of things because it feels better if it's somebody else's fault, doesn't it? It's hard to say, because here's the thing. If I say it's really me, then you and I saying that I need to do, I'm the one that needs to change. I had this couple, this older couple was coming to church. We were at in Louisiana. And when I say older, I think they were 60s. So, you know, like, well, that's not, well, they were older. They weren't young, I'm saying. And they had it, because I was going to say that, because they have a son. They had a son that was him and his wife. He was working as a manager at Walmart. And they were coming to church, and then they would stop coming to church, and they were in and out of church. And, you know, he was building his career trying to become a general manager of a Walmart. And you're like, Walmart, but when you're up in management, it's pretty serious. You know, it's a pretty serious commitment. And so I was talking to the parents one day, and I said, well, you know, he's at a place where he's going to have to make a decision. You know, is he going to follow? Is his career going to be to the point to draw him that place? Or is he going to be, you know, in a place serving the Lord? I said, that's going to be a decision. Well, To me, that just sounded like it didn't sound like a really deep theological thought. It was, you know, if his career is pulling away, then obviously there's this, and I said, well, you know, he's going to have to make a choice, and that's going to be, well, evidently Mama didn't like that. And so they quit coming to church, and so I called the husband, and I said, hey, you know, what's going on? He said, well, we're not coming to church. We just don't like the way you're doing things now. And I said, okay, well, let's talk about it. What can we do? We can maybe fix that. He said, well, you know, so when we got in there, it was a church plant. I got in there, and there was no members. Nobody had joined the church. So my family had joined. So I had my girls taking up the offering. They were younger, and so my, you know, preteen girls, they were receiving. There's no members. I thought, we're going to have. And he said, you know, girls shouldn't take up the offering. That's supposed to be the men. I said, oh, okay. I said, if you show me some scripture, I'd be glad to make some adjustment on that. Where do you find that? Well, you know, also, and he said several things, and I said, brother, I said, listen, I said, listen, if there's something that I'm doing, I'd like to fix it. But if, I said, you know, I'm certainly trying to help here. He said, and he just stopped. He said, Pastor, he said, I've got to be honest. He said, it's not you. It's not you at all. He said, it's my wife. She's upset. And I thought, okay, wow, that was pretty big of him to admit it. He said, you know, she got offended by that, and so she just doesn't want to come anymore. And I said, listen, go visit churches for a month and see if you find, you know, if there's one you find, you could then do that, you know, and I'll be glad for you. So I didn't see him. We were knocking on doors, came by their house, and he came up and said, hey, preacher, how you doing? His wife seen me. She went back in there, you know. But he said they found another church. You know, what happens is, and these people were faithful, and he's praying and serving and so forth, but I thought, you know, what can happen is, why does somebody all of a sudden implode? Buildings do this. They do this. All of a sudden they crumble because what was underneath was not given any attention. And it was, and so we want people, you know what I want as a pastor? I think we want as faithful church folks, we want somebody to come in. We want them to get saved. We want them to get faithful. We want them to start tithing because we need more money. No, we want them to follow these things, right? We want them to respond to the preaching. We want them to, their life change. Don't we like it when people like change on the clothing on the outside? Like, wow, okay, they were coming and, you know, I've had ladies that come in to church and looking like they weren't sure if they're going to a nightclub or to church. You know what I'm saying? Because that's their clothes. And they come in, and after a period of time, they start changing. They put more clothes on, a little looser. You're like, amen. You're like, they're getting something here. I love to see people change on the outside because it's some evidence that something has changed on the inside. But if our greatest burden is to change people's outside, what they can be is a building that seems great, with no foundation. So what's so important is that we give this effort. And so what we're going to do, we're going to be investigating the foundation for some of these elements of a solid foundation. And so we're going to be investigating God's word for what these elements are. So so there isn't a more important element, right, in our foundation than the element trust. So we're going to look at trust. We're going to look at that this morning, this thing of trust. We're going to begin this, spend the next couple weeks talking about this thing of trusting. Alaska and California, two states that have a lot of what?
Earthquakes.
A lot of earthquakes. Because of the earthquakes, they have building codes are put into place to ensure the safety for residents. We have a lot of building codes because of hurricanes that come through here. And so there, for those, in California, we know this, we see this, many of the beautiful buildings have crumbled to the ground because they couldn't withstand earthquakes. They have to be built differently for that. We know that. So building according to the earthquake code is more costly, right? Takes more resources. You're going deeper. We talked about that with the Leaning Tower of Pisa, right? They didn't go down far enough. Remember, Hayden, we heard him talking about a building. I think, I can't remember what building it was. Was it the Sears Tower, I think it was. And they talked about how far down they went. They put these pillars down. And I want to say it was to the tune of, do you remember how far the Leaning Tower of Pisa they went down? 10 feet. I want to say they went down like 100, 150 feet. Of course, it's in Chicago. So it's right there on the Great Lakes. So they went and did all these pillars. And so we talked about that. So that's what they should have done in the Leaning Tower of Pisa, right? And so it was these kind of things. So you've got to spend a lot more time and resources in this kind of thing because of that. So it's often frustrating for those building that, and the timeline for building drags on. It goes on and on. But it provides safety and it protects the investment made in the building. Okay? And so this is why the foundation is so important. Challenges and tests in our lives are like those earthquakes. Okay? You and I are going to have some challenges. And listen, some of those things that's going to come into our life can shake us at our very core. And they can have the potential to destroy our Christian testimony. I want you to think about this for a minute. Maybe something in your life, I want us to try to engage in this a little bit. It's gonna take us longer to get through this, but I want it to be not just me talking, but I want you to think about it. Something in your life that was a test that really, really shook up your whole life. Anybody have something like that comes to their mind right away? Something that just like, wow, this thing came into my life and really shook up my whole life. It was a huge test of my Christianity. I've not had any of those yet. Well, okay, Brother Ed. That's a big test, yeah. Sure. And those are the kind of things that can really shake you. Hayden, did you have something? You know, some of these tests and trials that come to our life can be, let's think of this generically. What are some of the things that can really shake your foundation and really to the point of cause to destroy us? Medical thing. You get sick or your family gets sick. You know, I think I talked about it here, either here that when Kayla was a baby, and she was sick, nigh unto death, and then realized she was just dehydrated. But I'm a young parent. You don't know. And all of a sudden, your life gets changed. Another thing was this between Kayla and Kara. My wife lost a baby in there, and she had not only did she have a miscarriage, but the baby stayed there, and she got very sick. And they ended up having to do a procedure to clean all that. And then she lost so much blood, she almost she began to not quite flatline, but get her heart rate was going down so low that all of a sudden I'm in there and I'm in there recovering. Like all of a sudden they're like, "You got to get out of here." And they come in, "Hey, we're going to we need to do a blood transfusion. We need you to sign here." And they said, "But you know, you could get all these diseases. You know, all these things could come." I'm like, "Do we have a choice?" They said, "No." I'm like, "What? And so stuff like that can really be medical. But even beyond medical, what about somebody's death? Somebody dies, and I said, "What else? What else could be those kind of things that they could shake anybody up?" Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. Someone else's testimony. That's a good point too. And when you're looking to somebody, you know, Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And what at some point, if Paul were to fall apart, or that can be sure. Anything else? Yeah. Job loss. I was going to say, yeah, job loss or change in the job or so you guys got business. The business, doesn't, when you have your own business, it's going great today. all of a sudden tomorrow it could be something different. And so, all those things. And so here's what those things do when they come. And it doesn't have to be huge things. Sometimes it could be small things that really mess us up. Relationships. You ever had somebody not like you? Does it bother you when people don't like you? Does it bother you when people don't like you? Some people do. It does me. When people don't like me, it actually bothers me. I have to go through a process. If somebody's upset with me, I'm thinking, first of all, did I do something? And if I did something, then I need to, then I'm an idiot and I shouldn't have done that and I want to make that right. And I have to go through that process. It's not something I'm just like, well, whatever, I don't care. I wish I could be. Some people are like that. I wish I was more like that. But God didn't make me like that. And so we're a package deal. You know what I mean? We're all a package deal. We get all the thing that's involved with us. And so we're like, "I like that you're like this, but I wish you weren't like this." I'm like, "Brother, that's part of my package, And so, and that's the way God created me. I was like, "God, could you make this?" So we have to go through that. And so sometimes those can really set you back and put you in some things. And so here's the thing. Whatever these things are, when they come to us, when these trials come to us, they reveal the strength of our foundation. Okay? And it's at these times that we can see where we put our trust. Brother Jonathan said, sometimes when your foundation relies on someone else and you find out my Christianity isn't mine, it's someone else's. God wants to bring those to you to reveal that you've got your trust in the wrong place. So let's go to 1 Kings. I mean, it's right there in your handout. I believe. Maybe not. Nope, we're going to have to turn there. 1 Kings chapter 17. Yeah. It's the second one. But we're actually going to read. Let's read the whole passage. So turn in your Bibles. Y'all have Bibles with you this morning? Might need one of those today. First, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17. And it's a long passage. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Verse 1 through 16. Because this is the story we're going to look at really through this lesson. So and Elijah the Tishbite. What's a Tishbite? Yeah, anyway, it's somebody from Tish, he's a Tishbite. Anyway, it's just talk about where he's at. I always just think it's funny, Elijah the Tishbite. There's a lot of words, names that are funny in there to us. Our names are funny to people of other countries too. Okay, he was... who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, who's Ahab? He's the king. He's king of where? He's king of Israel at that time. And he says, and what is Elijah? What kind of role does he have? He's a prophet, right? He's a prophet of God. And he says, and said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee, there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he went, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. So we find here this story that we're going to be looking at for a while. So 1 Kings 17 gives us the example of two people, a prophet and a widow, who both trusted God during one of the most difficult times in their lives. Okay? So in this lesson, we're going to learn from them how we can build this thing of trust in our lives. So the setting of the story is similar to that of our culture today. In this way, the country of Israel at that time had forgotten the ways of God. This was not, we know Israel never had good kings. So Israel and Judah had separated. There was never a good king from that time on. From after David, may say Solomon. After that, when the kingdom split, there was never a good king from Israel. But Ahab is at the top of the worst kings. Okay, the king and queen. We have Ahab and what's his wife's name? Jezebel, and they had no interest in God's laws or the consequences that would come to the nation by rejecting God's law. So, just as we can see prevailing in our world today, there is this arrogant rejection of the one true God and an acceptance of what we call pluralism and idolatry. Pluralism is that there is a multiplicity of gods, and anything can be a god, and you're a god, and they've got a god, and we don't even want to pretend like we're a Christian nation today. Even though clearly through all of our documents, this nation was built on things of God, but we've come to our... There seems to be a flagrant rejection of the things of God. We're seeing a little bit recently, but I think we kind of can sense and feel that it's pretty surface level, right? So look here. Well, let me just say this. In response to Ahab and Jezebel's disobedient idolatry, God sent Elijah to proclaim his judgment. So many years earlier, God had already made clear to his people that there was going to be a consequence that would befall them if they rejected him, right? We've seen that throughout the throughout the Old Testament. Somebody read there Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 17. Who would like to read that? Somebody raise their hand and say I'll go ahead and read that. Who wants to read that? Okay, Brother Eddie.
And it shall come to pass that he shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shall shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you.
Do we believe what God says?
Absolutely.
Well, we could say we do. Right. We find through the nation of Israel, even we're looking back and we're going to get back to Nehemiah, not this week, and next week or so, we're going to find out all that. Remember how they had, in Sunday nights we're dealing with that, they had made this commitment. Remember, they signed the commitment. We're going to find, I don't want to jump ahead and tell you the rest of the story, but you can read ahead anyway. But what we're going to find is they make this solemn commitment. We're going to do this. And it's not too long later where they turn back again. It's just like, so a lot of times we say this, but here's the thing. So what Elijah was coming to proclaim through this drought was not just a prophet trying to scare Ahab. If you don't straighten up, God's going to get you. That's not what that is. It was really him saying, here's what God said is going to happen. Now it's going to happen because of what you're doing. And so there became this process. So let me read 1 Kings 17, 1 again. I read that already, but somebody else just reread it. So John?
And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inheritance of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be rain in these years, but according to that word.
Could you imagine not even dew on the grass? I mean, that's saying there's no moisture in the air, right? I mean, the dew point is like, how much humidity before there's... So, as always, God's word came to pass, right? So God sent a drought to the land, and as we can imagine, this became a season of incredible testing for Elijah's life. Why was it incredible testing for his life? Yeah. He's the one that came and said it. What do we say? Don't shoot the messenger. But we kind of do, don't we?
It feels good.
Yeah, it feels like we want somebody. But you know, but it also feels terrible when we're the messenger. And we're the ones who get it. So, but it was also a time of testing for a widow and her son. We already read about that. Who are introduced to us in this passage. Now during this time of extreme difficulty, their lives were shaken. And their faith was tested. And so, through their responses, the foundation of trust was exposed. So number one is the what? The trust of Elijah. Okay? So, because Elijah preached the word of the Lord to Ahab, he became the special target of Ahab and Jezebel's anger. Right? Remember what Jezebel said about her, about him? What did she want to do?
Kill him before the sun.
Yeah, she wanted to kill him. Could you imagine if a queen wanted to kill you? Typically, when a queen, like a government leader, not like the national leader, wants to kill you, you're going to die. Right? And so. What we find is through this, the foundation is exposed, and we're going to get this. But it's not only Elijah, the people of the land, it's very likely that the people of the land were also angry at the person whose fault this was, right? The people were going to be angry at Ahab, right? No, they're not angry at Ahab. They're angry at the messenger, Elijah. So, 1 Kings, we already done this, so we're going to skip that verse. I think we have verse 2 through 5. We've read that. So let's go. I want to just say one other thing here. More than ever, Elijah had to trust God for everything. And so we have this first part where he used to go down by the brook Cherith. And so God told Elijah, to go to down to the brook Cherith. And how is he going to eat? Find scraps there, right? He's going to find scraps and he's going to dig up earthworms. No. Catch fish. Why did he say catch fish? Nope. He's going to do what? Ravens. Ravens are known to be clean birds, right?
Scavengers.
Oh, man. So, here's what Elijah did. God said, here's what I got for you, buddy. Okay? You're going to go down to this brook. You're going to drink out of that brook. Maybe he's thinking, it's very cool water. You know, I'm seeing, okay, fine. And the ravens are going to bring you, they're going to bring you food. So what did Elijah do? Well, he went. He went and did according to the word of the Lord, the Bible says. His obedience, watch this. His obedience was proof, rather it was evidence and it was proof that he trusted God. And that's obedience is the proof that we trust God. How else can we prove that we trust God? I trust Him. I really trust. I believe God. I just ran into a fellow yesterday. I mean, I didn't run into him, but we came by and I was talking to him. We went and ate some supper or lunch, I think it was, and I held the door for him. And we got talking and I invited him to church. Maybe he'll come today. And we talked a little bit, and he talked about a situation, and I said, well, I'm a pastor here. I'd like to invite you to church right over here. And he said, I'm a big believer. He said, I trust the Lord. I really believe the Lord. And I don't know if he used the word trust, but he said, I'm a big believer. And I said, this is what I always say this thing. I mean, because this is what I'm trying to get. I said, do you have a church you're going to? No, not right now. So, the evidence that you're a big believer or that you trust God isn't that you say you trust God. A man may say he has faith, right? Show me thy faith by obedience, by doing what God said. And so we find this thing, that's how we... So A, to go to Cherith, that's the thing. So in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 3, he says this, hide thyself by the brook Cherith. Now, because Elijah trusted God's direction, he saw God's provision. When I say he saw it, what I mean to say is he received it. Is God going to provide for us? Do we believe that? Will God provide for us if we don't follow him? Can I say this? Not the way that he wants to. So God has a plan, and if we say, you know, I'm going to do things my way, and listen, it doesn't work like that, right? It doesn't work like I'm just going to do what I want to do. And it's all gonna work out there, right? And so now God still loves us. He's got a lot of grace and mercy, so He kind of meets our needs anyway. But somebody read verse 5 and 6 there, top one there. Let's go ahead, read.
So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening.
Okay, where God guides, He always provides. Okay, how's He going to do it? Well, here He used ravens. Now, you ever been fed by a raven? You ever seen, now I know you have around here, you see a lot of these turkey vultures, these kind of things, digging out meat in the middle of the road, a dead squirrel that's been there. I'm not thinking that's what I want to be. Thanks, buddy. Bring that over. Can I have some of that? It's not what you're thinking. Now, I don't think that's what he brought. How did it... What did the ravens bring? Wouldn't you like to know? It'd probably clean up the story a little bit. You know what I'm thinking about? Remember the blackbird? There's a little song. Little blackbird steals the pies. You know, like the cartoon and that. I'm thinking they're stealing good food and bring it. That's where I'm going to go with, okay? What for a raven to bring food daily, maybe several times a day, whatever he need to be to sustain him. I think it's fair to say that's miraculous, right? It's a miraculous thing. But if Elijah wouldn't have trusted God's direction, he would have missed out on seeing God provide this way. Could you imagine what that would do to the foundation you already have? When God provides in a way that is just beyond humanity. It's like, how did this work? And so here it is with us, folks. Our human tendency runs contrary to our trust. So what I'm saying is God says, do this, and we know this is what God wants. And we know God says, just follow him. Listen, don't lie, right? Thou shalt not lie, right? And we know that this kind of thing really fits, except for comes a time when we'll get to the thing, we'll get to the place to say, you know what? It's going to benefit me. Come on in, folks. Come on in. It's going to benefit me to lie. I could save some money. Right? And so my human nature says a little white lie is going to be okay. Right? So what I'm saying here is our human nature runs contrary to trusting in God. So what we like to do is we like to do this thing. We like to analyze our options and then determine our direction. Well, if I do what God wants, then this is going to happen. If I do what I want, this is going to... So we begin to analyze, right? Can you imagine if when God said to Elijah, go over here, I'm going to feed you, you're going to drink the brook, and ravens are going to bring you food, and Elijah, can you imagine how many other options would have been better than that one? Like every one of them, right? And if you begin to analyze, do I trust God or do what makes sense? If you're analyzing, you're determined, we're almost always going to be drawn to human nature. But God wants to do something supernatural for us. Far too many Christians miss out on experiencing God's great acts of provision because we refuse to trust him for his direction. And God has something that's super exciting. Can I say this? It builds upon that foundation. It builds something spectacular. And so we can find there in... that we're out of time. And so we'll get back to this next week. And so let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful for your goodness to us. Thankful for your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to develop this trust, this element of trust in our lives, that we might really see what the blessing, the power of your hand on us, if we'll just put our hope and our trust in you and follow you. And we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name.